Gospel of Matthew in chapter 15. In verse 23, the Syrophoenician woman that we have been considering over the past couple of weeks has come to the Lord. The Lord has gone into the borders of Tyre and Sidon and hid himself there. But we are told by Mark that he could not be hid. The reason being that this woman sought him out. She was so burdened about her daughter, who was so vexed by an evil spirit, that really she had to find the Lord and unburden her heart to him. And so she sought the Lord and sought him until she found him, and then brought her daughter before him. And then last Lord's Day we considered the woman and the silence of Christ. And here in verse 23 we find that after the woman had sought the Lord, had cried out to the Lord saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." We next read, "And he answered her not a word." There's the silence of Christ. We noted that this woman cried on to him. There was her plea. She cried on to him. I'm sure it wasn't the first time that she cried. On this occasion, she cried out in public unto the Lord. The disciples were there. They heard her cry unto the Lord. But there were many times, I have no doubt, when she cried in private, when she cried in secret, and she cried over her daughter and saw what the devil was doing to her, to this daughter that she loved. We noted then also this mother's pain. Not only her plea, but her pain. Along with the burden came the pain also, which we see here in her words to the Lord. It says she cried out unto him, saying, "Have mercy on me." Now she didn't cry out unto the Lord and say, "Have mercy on my daughter." That came afterwards. She said, "Have mercy on me." That's an indication of the pain that this mother was suffering because of her daughter. Because her daughter was grievously vexed by this evil spirit, this mother was grievously vexed because she could see what was happening to her daughter. She was vexed. And she suffered the pain because of her daughter's being influenced by this evil spirit. Just as parents today and down through the years and the centuries feel the pain when their children go astray, when the devil gets a hold of their children, sons and daughters, the parents feel the pain. And then you have this mother's prayer. She has met the Lord and we're told has cried unto him saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thy son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." And what we notice here, of course, is the mother's speech. We have pointed out that this woman, this mother, was a Gentile. Syrophoenician woman from the land of Canaan. She was a Gentile, and yet we notice how she addressed the Lord. She said, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David." And really, she was recognizing the Lord Jesus as the promised Messiah. Something that the Jews should have recognized. But of course they didn't. Some of them did. Blind Bartimaeus, as they sat by the wayside begging, he cried out, "Jesus, thy son of David, have mercy on me." And here's this Gentile woman, and she acknowledges Christ as indeed the promised Messiah. This is quite remarkable, coming from the lips of a Gentile. But we want to notice also what she said. She said, "Have mercy on me, O Lord." She acknowledged the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord. And if that is his title and that's who he is, he's Lord, then that means he's Lord of all. That means he's Lord over the devil. The devil to Jesus must bow. And he's Lord over the devil. And so when this mother came to the Lord Jesus and acknowledged him as Lord, she believed. She believed that the Lord Jesus could deliver her daughter because she acknowledged him as Lord. And he's Lord over all. And we come to pray, we must acknowledge Christ as Lord over all. And being Lord, then there's nothing that he cannot do. That's the mother's speech. But then you have the master's silence. And here we see something that is, upon first reading, hard to understand. But he answered her not a word. Was this not disappointing for this mother? She seems to have done everything right up until this point. She sought the Lord, she sought him earnestly, until she found him. And then we are told, she cried out to him. And then we are told in her crying out to the Lord, she cried for mercy. She called him Lord. She addressed him as the son of David. She did everything right. And I don't believe we can question her sincerity. And so she was sincere in prayer. Something we always call for. We need to be sincere when we pray. This woman, without a doubt, was sincere. And yet, he answered her not a word. This woman had just sought the Lord on that one given day that the Lord went to the borders of Tyre and Sidon. But I would know that there are mothers and fathers, and they've been seeking the Lord for years. For years on the behalf of their children. They've been praying to the Lord for years, and as yet the Lord has not answered. They answered her not a word. The silence of the Lord sometimes is hard to take. And then we notice also the merciless servants, the disciples. Whenever the Lord did not answer this woman, these disciples completely misunderstood the Lord's silence. They completely misinterpreted the Lord's silence. because their immediate response to the Lord's silence was, send her away. For she crieth after us. Send her away. That's what they said to the Lord regarding the multitude that needed to be fed. They said, send them away. It wasn't much of an answer to the problem. And here the disciples said to the Lord, send her away. Don't bother with her. She's not worth bothering about. And really that's the sense of those words. That's what the disciples had in their mind. Why else would they say, send her away? The disciples were saying, Lord, don't bother with her. She's not worth bothering about. And there are those who have told mothers and fathers today about regarding their wayward children, oh, don't bother with them. They've broken your heart. They've tormented you for years. They've troubled you for years. They've shown no respect for you. Give them up. Don't bother with them. In other words, send them away. We're very thankful, of course, that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ a person who has a different spirit than the disciples showed that day. The Lord didn't send this woman away. The Lord didn't turn his back upon her daughter. She cried out, Lord, have mercy on me. I want you to notice now this mother's priority. We've seen her plea. And how she pleaded with the Lord. We've noticed her prayer. Now we notice her priority. When this mother first cried unto the Lord Jesus, I believe that she cried unto him when she was at a distance from him. You read carefully the words in verse 22. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried. You get the sense that she just came out, and when she saw the Lord at a distance, she cried unto him. She cried unto him from a distance. And when she spoke to him again, verse 25, notice, then came she and worshipped him. See the difference? When she first saw him, she cried out to him and cried from a distance. Have mercy on me, O Lord, thy son of David. But now we get to verse 25. Then came she and worshipped him. She came to him. And she worshipped him. She's not a distance from the Lord anymore. She's not crying out to the Lord from some distance away. Now she has drawn near. Now, if you like, she's at the feet of Christ because she's worshipping him. And this dear mother realized that she couldn't cry unto the Lord from a distance. She had to draw near to Christ and worship him if she was going to see any answers to her prayers. So often. So often when we pray, we seem to be praying to the Lord from a great distance. We seem to be so far away from Him. We should learn from this woman. We should learn from Abraham. We should learn from men like Abraham who, before he began interceding for the cities of the plain, we're told in Genesis 19:23, and Abraham drew near and said. And so before Abraham began interceding for the men and the women of Sodom and Gomorrah, he first of all drew near to God. And it was only when he drew near to God, that's when he began to pray. We ought to remember the words of Paul as we plead for others, when we plead for others, when we intercede for others and plead for souls. Paul said, "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith." Hebrews 10:22. Let us draw near to God with a true heart. Have to be true. We have to draw near to God with a true heart. A heart that is in tune with Him, in tune with heaven, in full assurance of faith. So we see then this mother's priority now. The Lord's silence did not drive this mother away from the Lord. The Lord's silence rather brought this woman nearer to the Lord. And sometimes when the Lord doesn't answer our prayers, and we experience the Lord's silence with regard to certain petitions, what does it do? How do we respond to that? Well, we say, "Oh, there's no point praying anymore." We go away from the Lord. But do. The Lord's silence only succeeded in bringing this woman nearer to the Lord. It ought to bring us nearer to the Lord when we pray and we don't receive an answer. It's time to get nearer to the Lord. We must eliminate the distance between the Lord and ourselves. We notice also her devotion. When she drew near to the Lord, we are told that she worshipped Him. Then came she and worshipped Him, saying, "Lord, help me." There's no indication there that this woman rushed into the Lord's presence. But rather she drew near, she came to Him, and we're told that she worshipped Him. She had gone there to plead for mercy and to ask for the deliverance of her daughter from this devil that was destroying her life. And so she had to behave in a serious and spiritual and godly and proper way when she drew near to God. And so she drew near to the Lord and worshipped Him. You see, dear Christian, this teaches us that this matter of praying for souls, it's serious business. Children from time to time may set up a little pulpit at home. They'll get up a chair and they'll maybe get a hymn book, and one child pretend to be preaching. And they're playing at church. But we as Christians cannot afford to play at church. Serious business. It is serious business. And therefore we cannot afford just to make a passing request to the Lord regarding souls. We must draw near to God. We must get down before God. We must lay hold on God. And that's what this mother was doing. Then came she and worshipped him. She was laying hold upon her Lord. And prayer, believer, is a serious business. It's a serious matter. Especially when we're praying for souls. Especially when we're praying for loved ones. Those who were near and dear to us. Serious business, because souls are hanging in the balance. The jaws of death are ready to devour them. The gates of hell are open, ready to receive them. We need to pray. And we need to be serious about it. And we need to get before God. Even as this woman did. Then came she and worshipped him. We've said many, many times that prayer is not just an exercise whereby we bring all our petitions before the Lord and all our requests. Prayer is an act of worship. When we pray, we're worshiping the Lord. It's an act of worship. It is part of our worship. And so when we get before God, we must worship him in prayer. I'll tell you something. The Lord demands worship from us. You're familiar with the words of the Lord Jesus when he spoke to the woman of Samaria. And he said to the woman of Samaria, John 4 and verse 23, "But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him." The Father seeketh such to worship him. And believer, the Lord wants us to worship him. He demands that we worship him. He desires that we worship him, and he delights in our worship of him. This mother came and worshipped the Lord. This is quite a contrast to when she first approached the Lord. She cried unto him from a distance. And the Lord answered her not a word. Why, a we experience the silence of the Lord? Is it because we have not drawn nigh to God? We're praying from a distance. And what is between us and our God? How many things are there between us and the Lord? What is it that distances us from the Lord? Those matters we need to have removed. We need to draw near to God. And before we come to Him with any petitions, fall down, worship Him. See, of this mother's devotion. And then you have her desire. You notice carefully the order of her words in this expression. In this expressed desire, she said, "Lord, help me." Now look at her first petition. In verse 22 it says, "And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thy son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. And he answered her not a word." Now she draws near. Now she gets before him. Now she falls down and worships him. Now she prays, "Lord, help me." In the first prayer, notice who she put first. She put herself first. She said, "Have mercy on me, Lord." Lord came second. But now in the second prayer, the Lord comes first. The Savior comes first and self comes last. "Lord, help me." Before me was first. Me was before the Master. Self was before the Savior. And the Lord answered her not a word. But things are different now. Now she is drawn near to the Lord. Now she worships the Lord. Now she puts the Lord first. And we need to learn from this mother, in our matter of praying, we need to put the Lord first. His will must come first. The Savior has taught us that. How often have we quoted those words, "Not my will, but thy will be done." See, the Lord has taught us that. Not my will, but thy will be done. Bobby Bates was a member of the Schenkel Butcher Gang, sentenced to life in prison for the murder of 11 people. His granddaughter was seriously ill and in hospital. And there he was in prison. He couldn't go and visit her, and he was brokenhearted. And the Friday night there in the prison, he asked if I would go and visit her. And over that weekend, Bobby was in turmoil of soul. He didn't want his young granddaughter to die, because she was indeed seriously ill. And he told me later that he walked around the exercise yard and he was shut up in his own prison cell and he tried to bargain with God. And his prayer was, his petition was, Lord, if thou dost save my granddaughter's life, I'll give my heart to thee. If you deliver my daughter from this sick bed, then I'll get saved. He's trying to bargain with God. He said before the weekend was out, he said the Lord had brought me to a place that whether my granddaughter's life was spared or not, I had to get saved. And he did. He gave his heart to the Lord. And it so happened the Lord in mercy and grace spared the life of his granddaughter. But there was no bargaining with God. It was all or nothing. It was the Lord or nothing. And Bobby learned that lesson. And this woman has learned that lesson. The Lord must come first. And she cried out, Lord, save me. Me now comes last. And there you have her desperation. Do these words not speak to us of her desperation? First of all, she said, have mercy on me, O Lord, thy son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil, but now she's drawn near to the Lord. She worships the Lord, and there down at his feet, all she can do is cry out, Lord, help me. Those words speaks to me of her desperation. Similar to the words of Peter. When he saw the Lord walking on the water and Peter got out of the ship and began to walk in the water towards him. And then he saw the waves and it began to sink and he cried out, Lord, save me. It's a cry of desperation. Peter thought he was going to drown. Lord, help me. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been in that place where you've just cried out to God in desperation? Realizing and recognizing that if God doesn't step in and do something, I'm beat. This woman, all she could do was cry out, Lord, help me. Do you know something? That's the kind of praying that God answers. That's the kind of praying that touches the heart of the Lord. Prayers that come out of a heart that is desperate for help. And she had learned, this mother had learned, that she had to put the Lord first in her praying. And she was brought to a place where as a broken-hearted, burdened, desperate mother, all she could do was cry, Lord, help me. And you notice this mother's persistence. Her persistence. Although the Lord at first answered her not a word, as we've said, to others that would have driven them away. Others would have just gone back home again. He said, well, the Lord didn't hear me, and the Lord wasn't interested, and the Lord didn't answer me. They would have went away from the Lord, but not this mother. In fact, when you think of it, her burden was so great she couldn't afford to go away. And so she drew near and she worshipped and she cried out, Lord, help me. I'm at my wit's end. I don't know what else to do. I don't know what's going to happen to my daughter. Lord, help me. And although the Lord at first answered her nothing, still she persisted. The Lord had said unto her and to the disciples that he was not sent to the lost sheep, but to the lost sheep of Israel. She was a Gentile. And whenever the disciples said, send her away, the Lord answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And then she prayed again. In verse 26, but he answered and said, so he did answer. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. We said before, the Lord was not insulting this woman. This was not the Lord saying to this woman, you're only a dog. He was not intimating to her, well, you're only a dog, I don't have time for you. I'm sent to the lost sheep of Israel. What the Lord meant here was he was painting a picture with those few words. He was painting the picture of a family sitting around the table at mealtime, and there's a dog under the table. And the dog licks up the crumbs that fall from the table. And the truth here that the Lord is teaching is that it's as if there's a Jewish family, namely the nation of Israel, sitting around the table. And the Gentiles are like that dog under the table, the pet of the home. The Gentiles are like the dog under the table. But the bread of life, the manna of the gospel, is for the Jews first. It's for the people sitting around the table. That's what the Lord says. I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I'm sent to the Jew first. And that's when the mother came back again. You see, she's persisting. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. She didn't give up. That's the bit we want to get a hold of here. She didn't give up. She didn't give up when the Lord answered her not a word. She didn't give up when the Lord said he was sent to the lost sheep of Israel. She didn't give up when the Lord made mention of the dog under the table. She persisted. And persisted. She had a daughter who needed to be saved. She had a daughter who needed to be delivered. What else was she to do? She kept on and on and on. We have entitled this series, The Wicked and Wonderful Women. This, without a doubt, as one of those wonderful women. Wonderful mothers. There she is, praying to the Lord for the daughter at home. And she was not going to give up until the Lord delivered that daughter of hers. We need to follow this mother's example. We need to have the spirit of this mother in our hearts. We need to have the spirit of Jacob in our hearts. When Jacob cried out there at Peniel, I will not let thee go. Except thou bless me. When we go to the place of prayer, we ought to make those words our watchword. I will not let thee go. This mother would not let go. She had this one opportunity to seek the face of the Lord Jesus, the great miracle worker, the great Savior. And she was not going to let that opportunity slip by. That leads us in closing to this mother and the support of Christ. We've looked at this mother and her seeking of Christ and the silence of Christ. And now in closing, this mother and the support of Christ. The disciples didn't give her much support. They said, send her away. And it is clear from his answer, the answer that the Lord gave, that the Lord supported this mother as she sought him. Because we read in verse 28, then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Notice the Lord's commendation. He commended her for her faith. O woman, great is thy faith. This was one of the Lord's once only visits to the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. You never read of the Lord going there ever again. And this woman showed tremendous faith. More faith than even the Lord's disciples, who were used to being with the Lord every day for 3.5 years. She showed more faith than Peter or James or John or any of the others. Because you recall that night on the Sea of Galilee, when the disciples thought the water was going to come into the ship and they were going to drown, and they went and they awoke the Lord and said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And the Savior stood up and rebuked the wind and calmed the sea, and then he turned to the disciples and said, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? The faith of the disciples was almost at zero. But when the Lord spoke to this woman, he said, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. Give the Lord's commendation, give the Lord's consent. He consented to heal the daughter that this mother, this woman had been praying for. The Lord always, always rewards great faith. We could turn to numerous verses this morning, but time does not permit us. You can read through the Gospels and read the number of times the Lord healed people and comment was made with regard to their faith. You know, believer, great rewards await us if only we had more faith. Great rewards await us. God will reward our faith. And dear mother and dear father, when we pray for the salvation of our children, remember the words of James, ask in faith, nothing wavering. This dear mother did not waver. She was not blown off course, as it were. She persisted and persisted and kept on asking until the Lord answered. And there's the confirmation. And we're told, and Jesus departed. Our verse 28, and Jesus answered and said unto her, woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. And we find, we read in Mark 7 and verses 29 and 30, the record of the same incident. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out, and her daughter laid upon the bed. This was a changed home. This was a changed house. This was a changed family. Changed home, relieved mother, delivered daughter. The fact that she found her daughter on the bed, as Mark tells us. You go to bed to rest. This would indicate too is that this daughter who had been grievously vexed with the devil was now at rest. Just like Legion. When the people come out to see him, they found this man who was tormented by a legion of devils, living in the tombs in a graveyard, cutting himself. And when the townspeople came out there, they saw the same man sitting at Jesus' feet, sitting clothed and in his right mind. That's what Christ can do. Brings peace to the heart, brings peace to the house, brings peace to the home. Is Christ in your heart? Do you know the peace that only Jesus Christ can give, the peace of God which passeth all understanding? Is there peace in your heart? Is there peace in your home? Is there peace in your house? In other words, is the Prince of Peace there? You'll never know peace. Never know peace. Until you know Christ. Who said, my peace I leave with you. And what peace he left with this woman and her daughter. What a wonderful woman. What a wonderful mother. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord, we bless thee for these wonderful examples that we meet with in the Scriptures. Thank thee, Lord, for this wonderful woman. Thank thee, Lord, for this wonderful mother who would not give up pleading with the Lord to deliver her daughter. We thank thee, Lord, for those great words, and the devil went out. O Lord, wherever the devil is found, there's no peace. But when the devil goes out, the one who's the disturber of peace, when the devil goes out, Christ comes in, then there's peace. O God, I pray that everyone here this morning will know Christ, the Prince of Peace, and know the peace that comes from knowing that sins have been forgiven. We're at peace with God, and we've received the peace of God.